This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 21st, 2024, the fourth Sunday of Easter, or Good Shepherd Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This whole shepherd-sheep motif is one of the most familiar in Scripture. And it's really kind of weird because we get the whole shepherd and the sheep thing. There is no explanation that's needed for that. But most of us haven't even seen sheep except for a couple times maybe at a county fair somewhere. But we still understand the sheep. You hang around a church for more than 6 months or so, you pretty much get sheep a couple times. I mean, there is a lamb on the back of my chasuble today. Sheep are everywhere in the church. And so when we look at this motif, and as prevalent as it is, we do truly need to be attentive. It's one of those kind of 101 step back and see the forest for the trees kind of homilies. It's sinful. I most Good Shepherd Sunday, I get up here and I start throwing out the most recent anecdotes of bad shepherding. It's kind of boring for me. It gets kind of boring for you. So we need to step back every now and then and what are we talking about when we talk about the Good Shepherd? And I don't want to go with characteristics today. I want to pay particular attention to something that Art says. And it's really important because liturgically speaking, it was in the Alleluia verse today. It's in the communion prayer for the day, John 10:14. I know mine and mine own know me. What does it mean to be known by our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. It is such a tremendously more personal thing when our Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm the good shepherd and I know mine. It's got to start off with this. I know mine. What does that indicate to us that we need to kind of pay attention to? That not every sheep is his. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's a lamb in his flock and everything. That's not so. That is not so. We are not all his sheep. The statement is actually twofold. I know mine, and it doesn't, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, period. I am the good shepherd, I know mine, and mine own know me. There's an association with those two things. Not just him knowing everybody cognitively, and because he's God, but on his personal level where I know, and mine know me. There is an intimate relation between the shepherd and his sheep. You know, a lot of people in our day and age, he knows everybody. Well, then how come in a couple places in the scripture, when he's casting people out into utter darkness, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. So there are people, there are sheep out there that he doesn't know. Well, how do we know if he knows him or not? If you follow him. If you listen to the shepherd. That's what shepherds are. They're the leader. This is how we know whether he is ours and we are his. Yeah, he does in his mind know every sheep. He knows everything. He created everything. But you are special to him. And don't walk away from this being all triumphalistic and say, yeah, I'm a Catholic, so I'm one of the sheep that he knows and everything. Don't miss that second part. You have to know him also. There are a lot of people who think they're in the fold who don't know him. We'll get into that in a little bit. So because what we have to do is we need to say, what does that mean? What does he mean that I know my sheep? Again, it's just not a cognitive recognition of their existence. It's something tremendously special. Jesus indeed, because of his divinity, knows everything. But in his humanity, this is where things become pastoral. This is where it becomes intimate. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, in his incarnation, it's a reason for the incarnation, he associates himself with us. In his humanity, we get to, you know, oh no, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He doesn't get that whole sheep part. Oh really? And St. John the Baptist, when he looks and Jesus is coming, what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus became a sheep. He became a sheep and he was tempted in every way we are to stray, but he did not. He did not. So he became one of us. This is that restoration of our position with God. Is I'm going to be the good shepherd, but to be a really good shepherd, you have to know the sheep and what they deal with. When I was in the military, when I was a cop, you know, one of the things, particularly when you start getting into really kind of intense stuff, you never ask someone to do something that you have not done in front of them. It's not cool to stand there, hey, you guys need to go into the tear gas house and hang out there for a while and see how bad it is. And no, they need to see you walk into the tear gas house and to deal with it, because they can sit back if they don't see that and go, I knew you do it. If they see you do it, they got no beef. That's the incarnation. We got no beef with Jesus Christ. He's God. He can do it. Yeah, and he's 100% man. And he was tempted in every way we are, yet did not sin. He's our leader because he leads by example. This is something that we should tremendously appreciate. So in both of his natures, both as God, again, in his divinity, yeah, but when we look at this pastoral relationship, it really has to do more with his humanity. It is in his humanity he is the pastor of his flock. Even the whole relationship between us and our shepherd, what does Jesus do when he calls us into his fold? One fold in which there is only one gate, him. What is he doing when he does that? Again, this shows the caring that he has. He is taking you back from somebody who stole you in the first place. That's Satan. After the fall in the garden, all of a sudden, because of his wiles and subterfuge, Satan gets the souls of Adam and Eve and everybody after them. And so Jesus is basically stealing us back from Satan. I mean, that's our whole baptismal thing, or should be. It is traditionally that when you baptize a child, you are wrestling them from the clutches of Satan. That's why we have all this talk in the traditional rites of the world, the flesh, and the devil over and over again, and fighting for Christ under his banner and all that stuff. Okay, all those good things that we have to understand about our relationship with Christ. We have to understand that he knows us individually. It's not just this broad cognitive thing. He knows us individually. Our reading in the gospel today started after the I think verse 10. But when you look at what our Lord says at the very beginning, because he opens up this gospel with, you know, talking about, I'm the good shepherd, I am the only door to the sheepfold, there's only one sheepfold. So he gets into this exclusivity thing. But then he, in verse 3, he says that he calls his sheep by name. This is where our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in this parable, he speaks of knowing you on a level that he doesn't know everybody else. Again, not that he doesn't know them in his divine omniscience, but there is a special relationship with his sheep. And again, this should make us tremendously comfortable to know that he cares about us. He doesn't care about you because you're a member of the Catholic Church. He knows you by name. He knows us intimately. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And as a good shepherd will, he acts accordingly. You need this whole picture of sheep, right? you got some sheep that have been around years and years and years and years and years. They're generally the ones that stick really close to the shepherd. He doesn't really have to call them anymore. It's like, oh, there's a shepherd. Let's hang out with him. He's always doing us right. They've experienced things. They've experienced the shepherd. They know he doesn't ever do them wrong. You know, he may do things that they don't understand because he's a shepherd and they're sheep. They don't get it, but he does right by them and they know it. But then you got the little lambs, and it doesn't work this way. This is why we get this picture. A little lamb that's born and just hits the ground, and the shepherd may call. What does that mean to a little lamb? Not a thing. That's like a new Catholic. You know, they've been catechized and everything, but from a practical standpoint, you know, the practicality eludes us. We grow in this practicality of things. This is how our Lord knows. That's like he knows the ones who stick by him, and he uses those sheep. A shepherd will use the sheep that follow him to get other sheep to follow, because younger, more immature, inexperienced sheep are more apt to follow other sheep than they are this two-legged guy that's walking around telling them what to do. So the shepherd will use those sheep to guide other sheep around. And then you got the others, the young ones and the inexperienced ones who like see a flower over on this side of you. Oh, that's a pretty flower. Yeah, it's attached to a thistle bush. It's not good for you. Don't go over there. But it looks so pretty. Yeah, but it's not good for you. That's some sheep. Think of the analogies that you could use for people that you know. Oh, that looks so pretty over there. Yeah, it's not good for you. I don't care. It really looks pretty. You got other sheep in Christ's fold who they'll play with the wolves. Hey, look at, they look fun. Look at them. They're all jumping and running around too, just like we do. Let's go play with them. Yeah, see how that works out for you. We got people that'll stay close to the wolves. We got people who will play with the wolves. They're not doing what the shepherd says. There's a big question mark as to whether or not they're actually a sheep, because they are actually don't know him. They're practically presenting the fact that they don't know him and they're not listening to him. This is the reality of the way our Lord knows us. Okay, which is a segue into how are we supposed to know him? Again, it's twofold. Him knowing us and us knowing him. That has to be the relationship. You know, all these good things that I just said about Christ knowing you. If a sheep does what the sheep wants to do, they don't know the shepherd. And that's got to be a part of this whole equation. They have to know the shepherd. Before our baptism, we don't know the shepherd. I mean, there would be people out there who have never been baptized. I know the Christmas story. I know the Easter story. I know about the commandments and things like that. But whatever, they know, but they don't know because they can't. They're unable because of the fall in the garden. We are unable because Satan has stolen the sheep. We are unable to know the true shepherd until our baptism. In our baptism, we receive three theological virtues, three graces that we do not have in our human nature: faith, hope, and charity. Those three theological virtues are the spark that is struck for a proper life. That's the baby lamb hitting the ground and the first time he ever hears the shepherd's voice. And now, like I said, a little baby lamb, they hear the shepherd's voice, but it's meaningless to them. Just like a little infant that's baptized. You know, the spark is struck, but it's really meaningless. This is why they have to be nurtured by other sheep in the flock to gain more experience and gain trust of the shepherd and see the shepherd do good by them. So faith, hope, and charity are huge for us. It informs the way we approach and view God. During Lent, just got over that a few weeks ago, every Friday we have Stations of the Cross. At every station of the cross, there is the same words before every station is announced. I believe in thee, I hope in thee, and I love thee. Those are the three theological virtues. I believe in thee, that's faith. I hope in thee, that's kind of a no-brainer, no more said there. And I love thee, that's charity. So those theological virtues aren't just something theological to bandy about in our heads. It is the way we practically approach God. I believe in thee, I hope in thee, and I love thee. That's how we should approach the shepherd. Believing in what he said, even when we don't get it, believing he's always going to do right by us, hoping that he will always be there for us, and loving him. Because if you love the shepherd, there's even a closer attachment. There are some animals that it's kind of weird to watch how they react around some human beings. For a while, I worked at the, volunteered at the Birds of Prey Center, and there were a bunch of sick birds around. They had a vulture, a black vulture that walked right. Vultures are nasty. Well, yeah, they are. But they're birds, you know, so they get to hang out there too. And this vulture, he ignored like most everybody. Some people he would tolerate, but there was one dude who would show up there, and this vulture followed him around everywhere, would not leave the dude alone. I mean, he's trying to work. He's like, come on, guy, you got to get out of here. This vulture, why? I don't know, but he just had an affection. So animals will do this. And here we are, human beings, and we know so much, and we have the good shepherd, and we won't follow him around. That's kind of sick. All right, stupid vulture. They're not really stupid. I was kind of impressed. Birds are not stupid. Seriously, think about that. The vulture follows somebody around who thinks he's going to do good. And what did the guy do good for him? He threw a sneaker around all the time. That was a bird's toy. He liked to chase our sneaker around. This dude threw it. I'm like, he liked that. But all that being said, you know, something so simple, and really, vultures, gross. And here we are, the pinnacle of the created order in this world, and, you know, we're not going to listen to the shepherd. That's a sad thing. When we know the shepherd, we care. We believe in him. We hope in him. We love him. Even though we don't understand everything he does. Because like St. Paul says, when we're in this world, we see through a glass darkly, in a dark manner. Does a sheep know everything, why the shepherd wants him to do this, that, or the other thing? No. They just do it because they know it's good for them. This is the way we should approach the church. All right? And when I say approach the church, I mean the deposit of the faith. What it says in Scripture, what the traditions of our church have always been, and what the magisterium has always said. This is what we follow. We hear that voice, because that's the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every under-shepherd that has ever lived, pope, archbishop, cardinal, bishop, priest, deacon that proclaims the gospel, every single one of them have to use the exact same words, because the sheep will not recognize it. And they will be confused if they don't hear the same message. Look around us. It's confusing when you get a bunch of different messages from I'm a shepherd, I'm a shepherd, I'm a shepherd. Luther thought he was a shepherd. Calvin thought he was a shepherd. Wesley thought he was a shepherd. They all thought they were shepherds. They had a different voice. They had a different message. People just flocked to them. Well, that looks so good. That sounds so good. That's better over there. No, it's not. It may look better, but it's not. So, you know, again, we have to approach the shepherd with this belief that he will always do what's right by us, what he says, and not what we think is okay. That's problematic for sheep. So when you look at this relationship, him knowing us, us knowing him, again, this practical application of the whole thing in our lives as Catholics. Parable aside, when you look at following our Lord Jesus Christ, your life, you might not recognize it as being good or well-ordered, but it is good. Because those are two things that we cannot have if Jesus Christ is not our shepherd. Happiness here and a well-ordered life. Well, I know a lot of people who don't go to church who are happy. Fleetingly, they think they're happy. Just because you think you're happy, well, what do you mean? It's a subjective feel. No, it's not. Okay, it's not subjective. You can be entertained and feel a certain way at certain times, but it's not happy because happiness has to do with our entire life. And yeah, indeed, there may be happy moments. It has been my experience, particularly in the ministry part of things, it has been my experience to talk to people. It's like they're happy for a little while with a certain situation, and then it goes away. And all of a sudden, they got to look for someone or something else that makes them happy for a little while. I've actually, unfortunately, particularly back in the chaplain's day with the sheriff's office, talked to people who've been married 3 and 4 times. Then all of a sudden, they have a new girlfriend because she's this and she's that. No, it'll be the same thing. It'll be the exact same thing. She's all that in a bag of chips until a couple years from now. Because that's the way you've lived your life. I'm happy with this. I'm happy with that. And I go, oh, no, that's not happy anymore. Is that why? Because their happiness isn't real. It's fleeting. There is no aim to their life. We as Catholics have an aim to our life. And it sounds, I always say I'm a wet blanket, but it's not being a wet blanket. To say, why are we here? You should, why are you, that's an objective question. Why are you here? The first and foremost answer, I'm getting ready to die. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's going to happen someday. And you, the sooner you start getting ready for it, the better it is. There is no aim in life when you're just happy at this spot and then this spot. Because guess what? The things that make you happy when you're in your 30s, 20s, and things like that, you start hitting in your 60s, 70s, 80s, all of a sudden, the happy things that were happy back then, they're not a thing anymore. And all you got looking forward to now is like, you know, me, you know, I'm in my 60s. You know, I'm a lot closer to the end than I am in the beginning. I was like when people my age say, I'm middle-aged. Who lives to be 124 years old? Okay. And I'm middle-aged, all right? I'm moving. And you got to have it's coming. You better be ready for it. Follow the shepherd into where those fields exist. That's the aim of our life. If you don't have the shepherd, there's no consolation in misfortune. All of a sudden, it's just something bad that happened to you. There's no reason behind it. You know, for us, there's a reason behind everything, whether we like it or not. There's a reason behind anything. So that happiness thing, don't approach it as subjective. Happiness is an objective thing for us. It's not a visceral feeling. It is something that exists. We call it heaven. This is reality. You know, when we don't follow the shepherd, particularly don't know him, and I mean, you're proving that you don't know him when you don't follow what he says. Ignorance of the shepherd is the cause of our not being associated with him. The word sin is what that comes from, not knowing the shepherd. Oh, I do this. I don't do that. You're not doing what he said. So you obviously you don't know him. This is why people are not associated with him. They may come to Mass, but they may not have received the Eucharist in months and months and sometimes years. Why haven't you received the Eucharist? Well, because I'm not properly disposed. Why aren't you properly disposed? Why I haven't been to confession? Well, I can't go to confession because I'm not going to amend my life. Well, amend your life. Follow his commandments and let him lead you. This is a reality of our life. If we're not letting the shepherd lead us, bad things happen. It puts us where we're not in a state of grace. And then that means you're playing with the wolves. You're sitting out there hanging out. You're not anywhere near the shepherd. And it comes from not knowing him. This is what this is about. Because this is where the practicality, this is what we call following the shepherd. You know, that's a parabolic way to say living a life of faith. Living a life of faith, to believe in him, to hope in him, and to love him. When we do those three things, from a worldly standpoint and sometimes from our own standpoint, it doesn't look particularly nice. But to get to the green fields, sometimes the shepherd has to prod you along through some areas that are not particularly green. Sort of like the people in the Exodus. Oh, we lived in Egypt. Everything was great there. We had onions and fish and everything like that. We're going to die in the desert and everything. Shepherd always took care of them all the time. But every time he took care of them, they started grousing again because they weren't happy with the way things were. They didn't follow the shepherd. This is the practice of our faith. We look at the shepherd to lead us through this life. You know, in this world, that is so distasteful. We hate that. We got this. We're control freaks. We got to make the choice and everything like that. No, no, that's bad for you. Let Jesus Christ. I always love when people that look at you, your faith is just a crutch. What should the response be for that? Your faith is just a crutch. Bingo. Bingo. And you need one too. It's actually two crutches. It's actually like a walker. You know, that's my faith. Why? It's like when people say, you're rigid. Thank you very much. Why don't we respond like that? It should be a crutch. We need a shepherd. We need somebody to lead us. Because if somebody's not leading you, who's leading you? Then we get back to the picture. What would it be like for a sheep out of the wilderness that didn't have a shepherd? That's what you are if you're not following Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.